All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're looking at the subject matter tonight. Lord, teach us to pray. We looked in John 17. And in John chapter 15, the message is built around prayer and looking at, let's see here, verse number 7 is where the message was birthed in my heart. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And, you know, I believe if you are walking close to the Lord, then his desires become your desires. The Bible said over there, I believe it was in the book of Psalms, delight thyself also in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And, you know, let me give you this verse. This is one the kids used on Sunday. Turn to Ephesians chapter, I think it's chapter 6. I'm pretty sure it is, where the whole armor of God is. Ephesians chapter 6. Well, if it's not, I'll be in trouble, but I think that's where it is. It is. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, on the armor of God, if you look down through... let's just look at it real quick. This is worthy of a review. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's verse number 12. But against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And boy, you could almost put spiritual wickedness in Washington, D.C. down there. The Bible said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand... And then he said, stand, having therefore your loins girt about with truth. I'm counting now these pieces of armor. So that's one. Is that correct? Your loins girt about with truth. Somebody say one. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, how many knows that in Bible numerology, 6 is the number of man? And I can remember years ago hearing this preached on, and I thought, the whole armor of God and the number is 6? No, you don't have the whole armor yet. Look at the next verse. The next verse says, praying always. Now do you see it? Now the armor's complete. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Somebody read the next 3 words. In the Spirit. Now if we're praying in the Spirit, then we're walking close to Jesus. Would that be right? If we're not abiding in him and he's not abiding in us, then how in the world will we know how to pray in the Spirit? And by the way, I believe the prayer in the Spirit is the only prayer that our Lord hears. How many believes that tonight? What did the Bible say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Is that what it said? And I believe that's right. And so I should say the prayer in the Spirit, the only one the Lord hears. And there's times when we can be in the Spirit, we can be abiding in him, and we can't even get it out. And yet the Bible said in the book of Romans that the Spirit itself make of intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, when you're walking with God, there's going to be that communication. Even when you're not able to communicate, the Spirit of God that lives in you will communicate with the Father on your behalf. I didn't mean to say all that, but I think it's important tonight. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We looked on Sunday night at the aspect of fellowship and prayer. In real fellowship, we find a closeness. There was a cutting or a pruning, and then there was a cleanness. And then we looked at the aspect of fruitfulness in prayer. We looked at that persuasion and fruitfulness. And that persuasion is just simply this: without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And I'll be honest with you tonight. If you abide in him, you always know that. You always dependent upon him, and you realize tonight that you can't do anything without him. There was the progression in fruitfulness. There was fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And then there was the promise of fruitfulness, where he said here, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And then he said in the next verse, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. I want to look at a couple more things tonight. If I have time, I'd like to get finished tonight. We'll just leave that up to the Lord. But let's look at the aspect of our Father in prayer. In the next verse here, the Word of God said, herein is my Father glorified. And I just want to say some things tonight about the aspect of our Father. When Jesus gave us the model prayer, and before I get through with these series, I may go back and look at it as well. Because they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Now it's worded just a little bit differently in some of the different gospels. That's the version that I know. And I may have told the church this before, but before I was ever saved, even when I was living in the world, before I ever got in church, I would have to say probably most nights that I knew what was going on before I went to bed at night, I recited that prayer. I wasn't saved. I didn't know what real salvation was all about. I believed the facts all my life that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. But I'd never been born again. I'd never admitted I was a sinner. I had never had a life-changing experience at the cross. But there was still that fear of God in the backside of my heart. And I would say that prayer. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know if God heard that prayer or not. I don't know either. I will say this. It's wrong to say that God never hears a lost man's prayer. You say, preacher, how can you say that? I can say it like this. Read about Cornelius in the Word of God. God sent Peter down to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was not saved, and yet, Brother Rose, the Bible said that his prayers and his alms came up to God for a memorial. Is that right? Is that what the Bible said? I believe that Cornelius was acting on all the light that he had, and God sent him more light. And so I believe in a way in my life, that's what I was doing for a long time. Now, there come a time when I wasn't acting on all the light that I had. My pride was keeping me back. I'd done joined the church. I'd done been baptized. I'd done went through all those religious motions. And now it was really, really hard to back up. But oh, happy day when I did. Amen. And I came to the Lord Jesus, and he saved me by his grace when the sinner came to the Savior. But the aspect of our Father, you know, tonight, listen, really, listen to me carefully. Those two words alone ought to cause us to shout tonight. To sit here tonight in this world that we live in and be able to say, Our Father, and we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. That ought to be enough right there just to let us know. Listen, Our Father means we're in a different family. Our Father means we're headed to a different place. Our Father means that we'll never be alone. How about that? He'll never leave us, never forsake us. It's a blessing just to be able to say, Our Father. And so the aspect of our Father, prayer, let me give you a couple things under this tonight. Prayer brings glory to the Father. The Bible said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Jesus has a lot to say about the Father. In verse number 9, he said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How many understands enough about the life of Jesus to know this, that he and his Father were in constant communion? How many can realize that? Amen. And personally, and I believe that when Jesus prayed in the garden and he nailed, his sweat became as great drops of blood, and he cried, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. I believe what our Savior dreaded more than anything else in the world
is there was going to come a time where he and the Father were not going to be like that. There was going to be a separation for a period of time when it gets dark in this world. And listen, he cries from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That ought to bless us tonight to know that Jesus cried that for time so that you and I will never have to cry that for eternity. Amen. And tonight, it's the aspect of our Father. Listen, our Father who art in heaven, our Father who loved us, our Father who we have fellowship with tonight. Then prayer not only brings glory to the Father, but the aspect of our Father, prayer brings joy to the faithful. I believe that, don't you? I believe when you have an individual tonight that walks with God, I don't believe it was any problem. Brother Brian Enoch and God just walking along and walking along and walking along and fellowshipping. And I think it was Brother Mays, one of the old-time preachers, said one day, he said, you know, Enoch, it's closer to my house than it is to yours. Amen? And the Bible said, and he was not. And I don't believe it was any problem for Enoch to say, bye-bye, world. Amen? In other words, I'm so close to my Father that I realize it's better with him than it ever will be down there. Say amen. Now, that's one of the ways we can pray for our dear brother Mitchell, that God will just smother him in these days. Amen. With his love and his presence and his grace. Amen. What a blessing tonight. Our Father. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. You look at words like remain, words like abide. The Christian life, listen, I wish I could say it's never been that way with me, but it's not supposed to be in and out and up and down, far away and close. We're supposed to abide in him, and he abides in us, and we're supposed to remain. Listen, this joy, look what he said here. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be, what's that next word? Full. Somebody said, well, is the glass half empty, or is it half full? I'm going to tell you what, God don't want us half empty or half full. He wants us full of the joy of the Lord. And I believe if we look back in our lives, all of us, we have somebody in our life that when you say that, they were just full of joy. The lady that I'm thinking of was, we use the expression, poor as Job's turkey. Well, I don't know how poor Job's turkey was, but the lady I'm thinking of lived down Carter's Valley, lived in a little shack by the road, and buddy, she was full of the joy of the Lord. Amen. I wanted to work on her little shack. I about broke my leg one day going to visit her. The porch was rotten. And I said, sister, we're going to put you a new porch on the... Oh, don't do that, preacher. Don't do that, she said. She said, now, preacher, if you want to patch it up a little bit, that'll be okay. And she said, there's a pane of glass broke out back there. If you'd fix that for me, I sure would. I'm talking about a lady with an outhouse. I'm not talking about the 50s or the 40s or the 30s. I'm talking about the 90s. How many knows what I'm saying? And I'm talking about a rocker. I'm talking about a bonnet. I don't care if it's 90 degrees. I'm talking about a Bible on her lap. She had the joy of the Lord. And I said, preacher, let us put you. I said, sister, let pastor, let, I'll bring some of the men. We'll put you. Oh, she said, preacher, we wouldn't want to do that. She said, if we fixed it up too nice, they'd just fight over it when I'm gone. I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of truth in that. Say amen. She didn't have any stakes driven down here. Some of you ladies, I see you bring your blankets and your quilts because you never know. Brother Richard's trying to satisfy the preacher and the congregation with the temperature. That's hard to do sometimes. Amen. Because I burn up. I come in one day, it ain't been too long ago, I said, Brother Richard, it's cold in here. And I said, if I'm saying it's cold, it's cold. Amen. About time to kill hogs, amen. If I'm saying it's cold. Sister Lissy came in one day, and somebody said, boy, it sure is nice out there, ain't it, Sister Lissy? She said, yes, it is. She said, it's good and warm. Yes, it is. But the preacher, he'll turn that old air conditioning on and make it wintertime again. That's what she said. Amen. But she had joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Didn't have much of this world's goods, but she had a heart full of Jesus. And what a blessing it was to be around her. Prayer brings joy to the faithful. Let me give you a couple things right here. There's joy in continuation, number one. In verse number 9, he said, that my joy might remain in you. There's joy in the commandments in verse number 10. For this is the love of God, the Bible said in 1 John 5, that we keep his commandments. In verse number 10, he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. There's joy. You know what I believe? I believe we're living in a church world today that believes you can have joy and not keep the commandments. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if you're going to be full of joy, then that means there's a desire on your part. Somebody told Brother Mays one time, said, I just can't keep them commandments. Brother Mays looked at that woman and said, which one are you having trouble with? Now listen, we're not saved by keeping the commandments. But if we're saved, I like what Brother Brian's repeated, Brother Mitchell, many times, we ought to be striving, say amen, to keep those commandments. We ought to have no other God before him. We ought to be using his name in vain. We ought to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I'm not going to split hairs over that Saturday-Sunday thing because the church meets on Sunday. God was saying a person needs a day of rest. That's what he was saying. And the church meets on Sunday because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that where the collection was taken on the first day of the week. And we meet as a result of that, not on Saturday anymore, but on Sunday. The aspect of our Father in prayer is joy in the commandments. He said, this is my commandment. Look, verse 12. Can we keep this one? That you love one another as I have loved you. I'll tell you something tonight. Listen, I don't know of anybody in here tonight. I'm not saying this pointing it at anybody. But I'll guarantee you, any given Sunday, any church, there'll be somebody that's not full of joy because of something they have in their heart towards somebody else. I can't be miffed at you and be full of joy at all at the same time. I just can't do that. Amen? And so Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. You say, well now, preacher, how did he love you? I'll tell you how he loved me. Same way he still loves me. Everybody look at me. In spite of me. In spite of my faults. In spite of my failures. What if we love people in spite of their faults, in spite of their failures? Say amen. That's the way he loves us. Now, is your wife always perfect? Mine is. A marriage ain't going to last long, beloved. Listen. If we don't learn to love one another. Jesus said, as a matter of fact, he said the man love his wife as Christ loved the church. That's what he said. And gave himself for it. So there's joy in the continuation. There's joy in the commandments. But there's joy in the commemoration. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say here? Look at verse 13. Here's something that we never, ever should forget. In our prayer life, the aspect of our Father commemorating this, it just means to remember. That's why we do the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. He didn't ever want us to forget the blood and the body that was broken, the blood that was shed, the resurrection that took place. He said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. For as oft as you do it, he said, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. There can never be a heart full of joy apart from Calvary. When an individual gets away from Calvary, they get away from the joy of the Lord. Watch this now. Say, preacher, where is it in the chapter? Look at verse 13. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, tonight, we ought to just stop once in a while in prayer. Please listen to me tonight. And we ought to just thank God that he was willing to pay the price. The Bible said, Brother Rose, that the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Before, only the high priest could go in. Now God said, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And God just took the veil and said, y'all come on in. Amen. Everybody that comes to Calvary has access to the throne of grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that a blessing? We should never forget what it cost, amen. You know, listen to me tonight, please. I believe that's one of the things that's wrong in our country. Our country, this young generation does not know anything about World War I and World War II and the Korean War and the Vietnam War. They don't know the price that's been paid over and over and over and over and the blood that's been shed that we can have these freedoms tonight. That's why there's a disrespect for the flag. That's why there's a disrespect for the national anthem and the very freedoms that people are practicing were purchased with blood. You and I tonight, when we pray, should never forget that that privilege was purchased with blood. Jesus went to Calvary. That's what he's saying. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Prayer brings glory to the Father. It brings joy to the faithful. There's joy in that continuation. Just keep on keeping on. Joy in the commandments. Keep it, those commandments. Let me just read you a word tonight. Look, go to 1 John with me quickly. I didn't plan on doing this. I want to show you some strong language in the Bible. Strong language. 1 John chapter 2, my little children, how many's glad you fit right there? That's why we can say our Father, because we're his little children. The Bible said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Now he had just told us over there that if any man says he's without sin, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. But what he's saying right here in essence is what Brother Mitchell's saying. You don't plan on sinning. You don't want to sin. You want to strive not to sin. That's what he's saying. He said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin, or the payment. And not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. You say, well, preacher, if he died for the sin of the whole world, how come the whole world ain't saved? I'll tell you why. Because the whole world hasn't come and got his pardon. Ain't that right? He offers the pardon to everybody, to whosoever will. But some don't want it. Amen. He's never forced himself on anyone. And he's not going to start now. But he died for the sin of the whole world. But the whole world's not saved. But watch this now. And hereby we do know that we know him. How many understands tonight that in Bloomingdale, there's a whole lot of people that say they know him? In Kingsport, there's a whole lot of people that say they know him. I didn't say this. God did. Watch what he said. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's strong, is it not? Look at the next verse. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not it. We're living in a generation that don't want to hear a verse like that. There are not too many pulpits that will even read a verse like that. God said, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? I say tonight, thank God for the privilege of prayer. But may we never, ever, ever forget what it cost that you and I could go right from here right into his presence. Listen, I don't mind at all. I get text messages. People call me. I don't mind that at all. But aren't you glad? Listen, I'm thankful for that. That somebody say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for my brother. Pray for my sister. Pray for my mom. Pray for my dad. I'm thankful for that. Don't get me wrong. But aren't you glad we don't live in a hierarchy where you have to go through a man to talk to God? Somebody help me. There's nothing wrong. Pastor called you sometimes and say, help me pray. Nothing wrong with binding together and agreeing in prayer. But aren't you glad that we have access into the holiest of all? Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Watch this. Look at verse number 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. It's going to be matured and perfected in that man that keeps his word. Hereby do we know that we are in him. Now watch this now. He that saith he abideth in him. I didn't even realize that word abideth was right there. Honestly, I didn't when I started this text. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Isn't that a blessing tonight? Just to be able to look in the Word of God and see, Jesus didn't just say, if you abide in me, but he's teaching us what it means to abide in him. I believe the Bible is a very necessary part of abiding, don't you? I believe prayer is a very necessary part of abiding. And I believe when I say the Bible is a very necessary part of abiding, it's not just reading it, it's not just hearing it, but it's what James said, be not hearers only, but be doers of the word. The Bible said that this man would be blessed in his deed. And God tonight wants us to abide in him, the aspect of our Father in prayer. I want to just thank the Lord tonight that several times today I've been able to say our Father. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, especially since that's the example that Jesus gave us. But if you pray very long, you'll find yourself not saying our Father, but you'll find yourself saying Father. Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, he didn't say our Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nothing wrong with saying our Father, but I tell you, there's nothing wrong with saying Father. It's personal. I'm glad he is mine. And I am his. And nothing in this world or out of this world will ever change that. I believe that with all of my heart. The aspect of our Father in prayer. Tonight, do you know him? Are you serving him? Do you love him? Are you keeping his commandments? Are you walking close to him? I believe it's important, don't you? I guess it was Brother Don. He was here in revival. I've never heard anything. It's not something I look forward to, but I've never heard anything like what he said that night. He made a statement, something like this. It may not have been when he was here in revival. It may have been the time before that he was here. He was preaching real strong on the nation. I think it was out of Isaiah. I don't have a real good memory. How many remembers what I'm talking about anyway? Brother Don McCann. And he said, they might not be 50 of us before this is over with. How many remembers him saying something like that? I don't enjoy even thinking along those lines. I'd love to see the church grow. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. God only knows what we're going to face before we get out of here. I mean that tonight. I don't say this in a derogatory way, but I don't know if folks really understand how dangerous the times are that we're living in when people are at one another's throat just seemingly constantly. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying. Do you know him tonight? I mean, he's glad you know him tonight.
I'm just glad you know he answers prayer tonight. Amen. I appreciate that. Let's bow for just a moment tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to pray. Lord, it's a joy to open this whole book and just see the truth that you have used and are using and will continue to use to change our life. Make us more like your darling son, the Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Teach us to pray. Help us, Lord, just to get closer and closer and closer to you. Help us in our words and our actions and our deeds just to be more of a reflection of the grace of God each day that we live. Father, I pray tonight you'll keep your hand on our church, our precious people. Some of them tonight, Lord, are weak. Some of them are hurting. We pray, dear Lord, that you'd strengthen them tonight, that you'd help them. And Lord, we pray for those tonight that don't know you yet. Lord, names have been named tonight, and there's others, Lord, besides these, even on my heart tonight, that I would love to see saved. Lord, that nobody could tell me except the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you'll communicate with these individuals. Let them know, Lord, how much they're loved. Let them know how much trouble they're in, Lord, if they leave this world without Jesus. Let them know, Lord, that you will receive them if they'll but come to thee with a broken heart. Father, tonight I thank you for the forgiveness that's offered at the cross. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.